Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
Today we are continuing on our series called The Bible Doesn't Say That. And I've enjoyed this, and hopefully you have as well. And if you've missed any part of the series, you can go on to our website and listen to the podcast the past couple of weeks. And just to kind of recap where we have been and what we have discussed, if you have missed a service or two, the whole idea and the premise behind the series is there are phrases, there are things that people say that we attribute to the Bible, that we may believe that it's biblical verse, or some people may even attribute it to, I know the Bible says it somewhere, and then they say whatever that phrase is. And so we've been taking a look at how some of those things necessarily aren't biblical. The first week we looked at one of the more common phrases that you've probably maybe said or even heard, is that God won't give you more than you can handle. God won't give you more than you can handle. Well, as we looked in the Bible, we see that indeed God will give us more than we can handle, but he won't give us more than he can handle. That's the truth. That there are things that God will give us and things that we will experience in our life that we can't do alone. We can only do through God helping us. That's the truth. He will never leave us by ourselves and give us something that he can't take us through. Last week, we looked at the idea and the thought behind this whole idea that if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, that God will automatically bless your life, that you will just walk in abundance and health and everything is going to be wonderful. I can't find that in the Bible either. I do see where God wants to bless us, that we will walk through times of abundance, but we will also experience times of lack, as Paul did. That God never promises us life is always going to be easy, or you will always have a checking account with hundreds of thousands of dollars. While, yes, that may happen and God may bless us, life is not always going to be easy. We will indeed go through difficult times, but it is Christ who gives us the strength to walk through the good times and the bad times. And so today I want to kind of pick up on that idea, but take it a little bit further, that we should not be shocked when we go through a difficult time or a difficult season. That there are going to be times in life, in this thing called Christianity, that we are going to experience suffering. However, there is a belief that if we suffer, it's because a direct result of a sin issue in our life. That there are those that believe that if we walk through a difficult time or face a difficult season, that it's because there must be some issue in our heart that we have not addressed. So we must repent of our sin, and then God will relieve us from this suffering that we're going through. But let's consider, if you would, this morning, James. Turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. James is just a great book of the Bible. If you just want to sit down and just like, if you're one of those people that like it, like straightforward, somebody, don't beat around the bush, just tell me like it is, James is your guy. Just go to him, go read the book of James, and he just lays it all out there. Let's not, you know, beat around the bush. He just lays it all out there. So we start in James chapter 1, starting at verse 2. And he says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, joy when we suffer. That's exactly what he just said. Consider it pure joy when you suffer. Excuse me? That is not something that I think of when I'm going through a difficult time. Yay, I'm suffering. Woo, this is awesome. Everybody join the party. That's not what I think. When I think of suffering, I think of crawling in a ball in a corner and crying. That is the idea. But he's saying, consider it joy when you suffer. Trials of, what did he say? One kind, two kind, of many kinds. So we're not just secluded into one or two trials, but trials of many kinds. We shouldn't be surprised if we face difficult times. The Bible says that we will indeed suffer, but we don't want to suffer. That's not the American idea of Christianity, is it? That when I follow God and I follow Jesus, life should be wonderful and I should be blessed and I should walk in just this great, wonderful time. But yet James says, consider it joy when you go through difficult times. Many trials. We're going to go through difficult times. And you may be, yeah, tell me something I didn't already know. But I want to consider the thought and the idea of going through these trials and why we suffer, why we go through these trials, because there is the thought and there is the teaching that because you're suffering, it's because of sin. Take Job. Job is a living example of somebody who is living righteous for God. God even calls him righteous, and yet he suffered. Job lost everything. He lost his kids. He lost the farm. He lost it all. All he was left with was his wife and his couple of friends who weren't giving him the best of advice. In an instant, everything was gone, and he was left in utter despair. But why? Why did he lose everything? Why did God allow him to suffer? It's not fair. How many of you have ever read Job? We're in church, be honest. You don't have to raise your hand, but just you've read Job, and then that's not fair. It's not fair. God, why did Job lose everything? I've thought that. I've read through. I'm like, man, he was a righteous man, yet he lost everything. Why? That's not fair. And so his friends, looking at a situation, go, okay, Job, then the reason why you're suffering, the reason why you're going through everything is because there must be a sin issue in your life. How many of you have ever gone through a difficult time and you have a friend, a family member that has to find out, has to give you a reason why you're going through that? They have to come up with some excuse as to why you're going through the situation you're facing. They have to fill the vacuum. They have to fill the void that they must, something, you're going through this because of this. We're uncomfortable. We're uncomfortable not knowing why something happened. We have to find the solution. There has to be a cause and effect. So it has to balance itself out. My son Isaac, he lives in that world all the time. Everything has to make sense. And he will come up with outlandish excuses as to why something happened the way that it did. Every day, I'm having to tell him, Isaac, do you really think that that's the reason why that happened? Well, maybe. I mean, just outlandish stuff. I'm like, how do you even come up with this stuff? Like, just the most random things, but in his brain, 1 + 1 has to equal 2, or, you know, it just, everything has to equal itself out. But sometimes in life, we don't know why things happen. Sometimes we just have to take it for face value and don't fully understand why something happened. But there are people in our lives that have to tell us or make us feel better, or they think they're making us feel better by telling us, well, you're going through this because of this, or you're facing this because of what you did there, what that person did there. When my mother passed away, it was a difficult time for our family. And I know the passing of a loved one, it always is difficult. And I had some well-meaning people come into my house and sit down and try to explain to me why my mother had passed away. I didn't need that. I didn't need the reason why she had passed away. I didn't need them to try to give me any reasons why. I needed in that moment just for them to show their love and compassion for me and my family. There are some things that we are just not going to know. There are some things that we don't know why things happened. I am comfortable with the fact to know that I may never know why the events that happened to her passing happened. All I needed was that momentary, we're here for you, we're wrapping our arms of love around you. Some things just don't make sense, and we don't know why. We don't understand why, but that doesn't compute. And so people think, well, I've got to figure out, well, this is the reason why. Job's friends were exactly those people. They had to come up with whatever excuse they could find. Job, the reason why you lost everything is because of this. Let's consider Job's friends for a moment. First, let's take a look at Eliphaz. Eliphaz in Job chapter 4, verse 7. He's trying to give Job some excuse, some reason as to why he lost everything. So Eliphaz says this, consider now who, being innocent, has ever perished? Were the upright ever destroyed? So Eliphaz is saying, Job, who, if you're innocent, Whoever has been innocent, they wouldn't be destroyed. So obviously you've done something wrong. There is something that you have done that the upright are never going to be destroyed. So if you truly were righteous, this wouldn't have happened. Great friend. Bildad, in Job chapter 8, verse 3, does God pervert justice? Does the Almighty pervert what is right? So again, Bildad is saying to Job, God is Almighty. He is just. He will not pervert justice. So obviously, if you're doing right, if you're living right by God, then nothing bad is going to happen to you. So there must be a sin issue in your life you need to take care of. You need to get to that altar and you need to repent. Zophar goes a step further, or a couple steps. Job chapter 11, 13, he says this. Yet if you devote your heart to the Lord and stretch out your hands to him, if you will put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then you will lift up your face without shame. And he goes on, but the eyes of the wicked will fail. Their hope will become a dying gasp. All right, so Eliphaz and Bildad, they kind of skirt around it. Zophar just basically comes out and says, Job, you're living in sin. That's all there is to it. There's some sin in your life. You need to get rid of it. Get rid of it in your heart. Get out of your tent. Get it out of your house. So there must be something in your life. Get rid of it. So according to their responses, Job was suffering because of his sin. He was going through all of these trials because there was some great sin issue in his life. God is fair. God is just. And he is the rewarder of what is right and the punisher of what's wrong. But that's not exactly biblical. While yes, God is fair and God is just, it's not how we see it. God is beyond what we can comprehend, what is fair and what is just. God will give those and reward the righteous. God will punish the wrong and those that are living in sin. But just because there is suffering in our lives does not mean that it's because of a sin issue. That God will bless us, but that doesn't mean life is always going to be wonderful, that life is always going to be easy. Now, there are verses in the Bible, and you may be thinking of it today, going, well, yeah, God does bless the righteous, and God does, and you maybe a couple of the Proverbs, think of Proverbs 12:7. Wicked men are overthrown and are no more, but the house of the righteous stands firm. So again, the whole idea and the concept that the righteous will stand, the wicked will fall. So again, God rewards those who are righteous and punishes the wicked. Proverbs 12:21, no harm befalls the righteous, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. So obviously, Job is not righteous because destruction has happened in his life. First thing, we need to realize that the Proverbs are not the same as a promise. Proverbs are not the same as a promise. There are universal promises in the Bible. Jesus came to this earth, lived a sinless life, died on the cross. We can believe in him, ask for forgiveness, and we can have eternal hope and walk with God forever. That is a universal promise to every single person. But there are general promises in the Bible as well. There are things for us to guide our lives by. The Proverbs are not the universal promises in our daily lives. Yes, ultimately, the wicked will be overthrown, the righteous will stand firm in the heavenly realms, but here on earth, we're going to face difficult times. The righteous will go through difficult times. The promises that we find in Proverbs are more general than they are universal. For example, think of this one. Proverbs 16:7 says, the enemies of the godly will be at peace with them. Paul, like we talked about last week, Paul pleased God. I think we can all, you know, if we look at the life of Paul, he was ultimately living a life that pleased God. But yet, didn't he have enemies? Didn't his enemies stone him? Again, the proverb is a general promise for the righteous. Jesus pleased God, right? Jesus did everything that he was supposed to, yet his enemies crucified him. His enemies were not at peace with him while he was here on earth. Again, the promises are more of a general promise to us, not the universal truth that Jesus died for our sins. So when we take those verses, and sometimes we take them a bit out of context, and we see it as, well, God, I'm not supposed to go through anything wrong. And people look at our lives, and you must be righteous, but yet all this stuff is happening to you. You must have a sin issue, and you must be wicked. That's the cause and effect. But we are not promised that there will be no suffering or no harm to us, that we will go through difficult times. Job, ultimately, he seems to realize this. And that's the amazing thing, is that Job, I think, realized that to understand that he never went to God and shook his fist. God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Ultimately, Job, he wanted a conversation. God, if we could just talk. If I could just present my case to you, then all of this stuff, you would make it all right. God, I just want to be in your presence. He understood that he was living a righteous life and that bad things can happen, but God, I just want to present my case to you. He realized that sin does not automatically, that God's punishment will happen to those that are sinful, but yes, difficult things and trials may happen in our lives. So then why do we suffer? Why do we go through trials? Why do we go through difficult times? Number one, oftentimes when we suffer, we go through difficult times, is that we bring it upon ourselves. We ultimately are humans and we make wrong choices. And so if we make wrong choices, they will come back to hurt us in the long run. I remember as a young man in my teenage years, I thought I was invincible. I could do anything. But I realized as I got older that the things that you do in your younger years will catch up to you. I could eat whatever I wanted and not gain a pound. Oh, those were the great days. Man, I could eat whatever I wanted and I'd lose weight. Like, this is awesome. But then as I got older, I realized the more junk that I'm eating, my metabolism slows down, and I can't eat what I want, and I'm going to pay the result of that. The result of eating wrong equals me having more weight in my body, and my clothes do not fit the same way they used to. Again, I'm making light of that in a scenario, but yet the things that we do have results. One of the reasons why we suffer is because of the things that we do, maybe in our younger years, or we don't make wise decisions and we suffer. If you realize that you don't have enough money in the bank, but yet you go on some lavish vacation and you come back home and go, why isn't there any money in my account? You're suffering because you don't have any money because you made bad choices. God didn't do that to you. God, why don't I have any money? Because you spent more than what you had in your account. God didn't do that to you. You're suffering because of your own foolish decisions. Many times we suffer and we unfortunately put the blame on God, but it's our wrong actions. I'm not saying Job did that. I'm just looking at us. Sometimes when we go through difficult times or we suffer because we've made bad choices and they come back to haunt us. Lack of discipline can bring unfortunate consequences to our lives. Number two, we are being corrected of a sin issue. There are times that we will go through challenges because the Holy Spirit's saying, hello, you're not living according to God's word. And it's a wake-up call to us to realize I need to start living better. I need to make some changes in my lifestyle. That we may go through challenges because of disobedience to God. I'm not saying Job did that. I'm just saying as a people that there is sin in our lives and disobedience, and God will correct us for that. That's another reason. A third reason why we may suffer is that we may suffer as a testimony to God. Job suffered ultimately as a testimony to God of what God was able to do in his life. I think of the paralyzed man in the Gospels, that he suffered as a testimony to God, that he suffered so that people could see the power of God, that he could walk again, a testimony unto God. Four, we may suffer for our own well-being. It's only through adversity come the deeper lessons of life and that we can learn what God is doing in our lives. I recently heard a study that said technology is hurting our kids. Oh, newsflash. But in a different way than what you may think. That as parents, caregivers, grandparents for our kids, we are robbing our kids of developmental processes in their mind. We're robbing them because of something called delayed gratification. All right, how many of you with kids, young kids, grandkids, they're hungry. They want something to eat. Go get a snack. Just go to the kitchen, go get a snack. Go get whatever you want. Just, I don't want to hear it anymore. Just go get a snack. I've never done that. Yes, I have. Many, many times. But what we're doing in that scenario is we're giving in to instantaneous gratification. Instead of delaying it, saying, no, you don't need a snack right now. You can wait. You just ate dinner. Wait 30 minutes to have a snack. Wait 30 minutes to have a dessert, whatever the case may be. Or how about this? You're traveling in a car, you're somewhere, and the kids are wanting, oh, I'm bored, I want something to do, and you throw the phone back there, hey, watch a video, play a game, whatever. Instead of teaching them to learn how to process, you know what, not right now, but how about in 30 minutes you can watch a video or you can play a game on my phone, but instead we give in right away because why? We want to make our kids happy, right? Ultimately, I want my kids to be happy. At the end of the day, I want them to be happy and healthy and all those things, but my goal should not just be to make them happy in the moment, but to teach them to be well-adjusted adults, to live in society, and how to deal with adversity. That's ultimately my goal as a parent. Although I want them to be happy right now, and I want them to stop talking right now. There's a sign in our house that says no whining. You walk in the door, walk in the kitchen, above it says no whining. And I'll just point to the sign, no whining. It drives me crazy. Ultimately, I want my kids to be well-adjusted adults. But what we have done, what I have done, because I didn't even realize I was doing this, is I was teaching them that you can have anything you want right now just to make you happy. So what it's stunting their developmental growth as they get older, that they don't understand what it means to get delayed gratification. That sometimes I have to wait for something to receive it. That we live in the microwave society and drive to McDonald's and get whatever we want just to make us happy right here and now. And so when they get their first job at 22, 23 years old and they're not CEO tomorrow, what's going on? Shouldn't I be CEO? I've worked here for a week. Shouldn't I have already got a promotion and a raise? That's the problem. But we just want to make our kids happy, but not realizing as they grow, they need to understand you have to wait. If you want that toy, guess what? Save up for it. Because when you get it, then you're really going to enjoy it. We've stunted and we're stunting our kids' growth and their developmental processes just to make them happy in the moment. Perhaps the reason why we are going through some of the trials that we're going through is because God is teaching us something for later in life. My kids may not understand, Dad, why won't you give me your phone right now? Because you don't need it. I'm helping you to be a well-adjusted adult, but I want it now. That doesn't matter. I am helping you for later in life. That's my job as a parent, not to make you happy. Earth to my kids, my job is not to make you happy. My job is to make you a well-adjusted adult so you can be a part of this thing called society. Perhaps the reason why we're going through difficulties is because God is teaching us something that's going to help us later in life. But God, I want it now. I understand that, son. I understand that, daughter, but not right now. You need to learn to walk through this to go where I've got you. Suffering does not always mean there's a sin issue in our lives or that we're being punished for something. I have heard many people and I've counseled many people, I must be doing something wrong. God must not love me anymore. No, that's not the case. Maybe he's teaching you something. Maybe he's guiding you something. Job was a righteous man. By God's own account, Job was a righteous man, and yet he suffered. And Job wanted to know why. God, just tell me why. Just give me an opportunity to present my case. And guess what God did? God allowed him that opportunity. And when Job stood in God's presence, he was in awe of him and said, who in the world am I to question you? The creator of the heavens and the universe, who in the world am I to question you? You know what you're doing with my life, and I'm trusting in you. You created everything. And he realized he could trust God in that moment, that the answer, that he didn't need to know why. Thankfully, we get to see kind of the behind-the-scenes workings of what happened between Job and God. But he was not that fortunate. He just had to trust God at face value. Perhaps we need to do the same thing. All Job wanted to do is, God, just let me have a meeting, present my case. And when he did, he realized, God, you're bigger than me. You're bigger than any situation I'm facing. I'm going to trust in you. Even though Job lost everything, almost everything that he had, what happens at the end of Job? God restores him. God did not leave Job in that situation, but he restored him and even gave him more than what he had to begin with. Even though we may go through short-term suffering and we may lose things in the short term, we're going to net gain with God. We're going to gain more with him. We may not see it even here on earth, but we are going to gain an eternal reward with God. Even though we go through these sufferings and these challenges now, ultimately, when the story's said and done, we're going to gain so much more than what we lost. That's how good God is. That's how much he loves us, as we just sang a few minutes ago. You may be dealing with a difficulty now, and you may not understand why everything happens, but you have to trust God that you are so much bigger than I am. God may be working in your life through your suffering to inspire others by your example through the adversity you're facing. The challenge that you're going through today may be the thing that he uses to inspire somebody else. Those who endure adversity can sympathize and empathize and identify more effectively with people who've gone through it. Then if you go through a difficult time and you see somebody else going through somebody similar, you can sit down across the table and say, I know what you're feeling right now. No, nobody knows what I'm feeling. No, trust me, I know what you're going through right now. I've been there, I've lived it, and guess what? There's hope coming. There's more on the other side. Sometimes we just need to know somebody else has walked through this. We can comfort those in the way that we were comforted. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4 says this, praise be to God and Father our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. So that what? So that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. That we have gone through difficulties. God is the God of all comfort, and we can be Jesus, this you know, you probably heard this, Jesus with flesh on, that we can be Jesus to somebody because he came to us in our moment of need. And we can go to them and comfort them through their trials, through their suffering, through whatever adversity they may be facing. No matter what the cause of our trials, we know that God will ultimately use it to strengthen us. You may be going through a trial right now, and you don't know why. God, I just want to, just tell me, if you would just tell me why, it would make it all better. What if it doesn't? What if God explained to you the reason why, and it didn't make you feel any better? Because he knows better than we do. It may not even make sense to us. God's ways are above our ways. We may be suffering, we may be going through a sin issue because of a trial that we face. But it's not, the sin is not always the root cause of somebody's suffering. If you know somebody who is going through a difficult moment, can I encourage you not to feel like you have to have the answer for them? Can I encourage you to do this? If somebody that you know, somebody that you love, somebody that you care about is going through a difficult time, instead of trying to find something to comfort them, some word of encouragement, can I just encourage you to be there with them? Just to sit with them, just to listen to them and say, I'm here. I will be here as long as you need me to be. I'm not going to come up. I'm not going to suppose I have the answer for you. But I know two things. Number one, I will be here with you. And I know God will be with you as well. Instead of coming up with something that you think is going to make them feel better, just tell them, I'm going to be here with you. And I know God is going to be with you as well. I don't know why you're going through this, and I'm not going to make up any excuses as to why. I have just heard, and I've been around enough funerals to know that, man, sometimes we just need to be quiet. We don't have to know all the answers. The way that we are comforted by others is just by simply being there. You know what? Sometimes that's what God does to us, that he is just there. And that, and in Job's case, I mean, God came down to him, and then Job, when he was in God's presence, realized, oh my gosh, God, You're so much bigger than all of this. Why would I even dare question you? God's presence changed it all. And maybe we can be that comfort for somebody just to be in their presence. You may be going through a difficulty and feel like, well, God's not even with me. God's not even here to be found. Let me promise you this. God has not left you. That is a universal promise that God will never leave you. That's not just a general promise. That is universal. God will never leave us and will never forsake us. Universal truth. Even though you may feel like you're alone, God is with you. I've had the pleasure of meeting some amazing people in the course of my life and ministry. And let me tell you, the ones that I'm most inspired by are the ones who face adversity, who face trials, and they don't let it defeat them. They let it fuel them. They take that which could defeat them, or what the enemy would use to defeat them, or to crawl up in a ball and just say, I can't do anything. They say, you know what? I'm going to take this and I'm going to use it to fuel me, to propel me to what God has for me. I may not understand what's right now, but I'm going to use this adversity to push me forward. I'm not going to fall into the traps of the enemy and crumble up in a mound and not do anything for God. I'm going to use this to do something for God and show him that he is with me. We can inspire people by the challenges that we face and go, how in the world are you even up? How are you even going to work? Look what you have gone through. How can you even believe there's a God? Forsake him. I will never forsake him because I know what he has done for me. I know what his son has done for me, and I refuse to let this defeat me. It will fuel me to do what God has called me to do. That's the hope that we have in God, to know he will strengthen us. There are things I cannot do on my own. I can only do through Almighty God. Life is not going to be easy, but he will be with us. We should not be surprised at the sufferings we go through because of his name. But we know that he is with us. Are you going to let it defeat you? Are you going to let it fuel you? Everybody across the room, with our eyes closed, our heads bowed. Holy Spirit, I ask you right now to do the work only you can do. Our hearts are open to you in this moment. We've heard your word spoken. We ask you right now to speak. Right now, there are people in this room that have gone through tragedies, who have gone through adversities, and the enemy would try to use those to keep them down, to destroy their hope, to make them lose hope. Holy Spirit, right now, may we hear you speak to our hearts and our lives to know that you are with us through this trial, through the adversities that we face. That we would not use this as an excuse not to move forward, but use it as fuel to move forward. As a testimony to you, God, to say that I can't do this on my own, but it's my God who gets me through this. It's the strength of Jesus that I rely on. We may not know on this side of eternity why we go through the challenges that we do, but we know that you're with us. Holy Spirit, search our hearts. If there is something in our lives that should not be there, reveal that to us. That we may walk in your truth, that we may walk in your light. Holy Spirit, we invite you in our lives. Jesus, we thank you. If you would, all across the room, let's stand. The Holy Spirit's not done yet. I could easily say amen and let's go on and do our thing, but the Holy Spirit's not done yet. I'm going to open up these altars. The altars are always open. What am I saying? I'm not opening up anything. There's no lock and there's no key. But perhaps you've gone through some trials and some adversities. Say, God, I need strength. I don't feel like I can do it on my own. I can't do it on my own. I've tried for too long. I've done it on my own. and you need brothers and sisters to surround you and pray for you, then please come forward. If there is anything that you have need of, come forward.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.